Hello everyone, this is Cesar Romero with Moonkin.com, the success incubator, where we feature successful entrepreneurs and we try to capitalize on their success, and hopefully we can spark that passion in our readers. My guest for today is Miguel Hernandez, who is the founder of Grumo Media. And Miguel, how are you doing today?
Very good. It's an honor to be here interviewed by you for Moonkin.
Awesome. I wanna start with just give a little bit of background about your company, Grumo Media, and what exactly, does your company do?
Well, Grumo Media is a company that specializes in creating demo videos for startups. Basically, 1 minute, 1 minute and a half videos explaining what your company does in the most concise, fun way. So basically, when you go to a website and you see one of those videos telling you what the company does, that's what we do. And we basically use just animation, a little bit of voiceover and music, and make it very fun for people to learn what your company is doing. Hopefully, after watching the video and being all pumped up, buying or getting whatever service that you're promoting. So that's basically what we do. And we've been doing that for a year. And we've worked with a lot of big companies, small companies, big companies like Microsoft and Walmart, big personalities like Ashton Kutcher, smaller companies that you've never heard of, so I'm not going to say them. So we work with anybody, not just because they're big or small, usually because we're passionate about their product and we want to help them make be successful with a nice little video. So that's what we do.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people might be asking right now, how do you get to meet Ashton Kutcher?
That is a very good question. It's a combination of luck, like luck, pure luck, and effort. So I started in October 2010. My first video was for a local startup here in Vancouver. And these guys wanted a little demo video. At that time, I was unemployed and I was looking for something to do. I had many years of experience doing animation, not this type of animation, but more like 3D animation for like industrial machinery and stuff like that, like boring animation. But they went, Miguel, can you do a video for us? So I did a video for them. The company is called Samify.com. Now they're quite big. Basically, they send you summaries of whatever is on your network via email. But anyways, they liked the video. They paid me peanuts for it. my first video, I didn't even know if I could do this. But anyways, it turned out very well. They were very happy with it. Next thing I thought is like, you know what? Before that, just to give you a little bit more background on the story, I spent a year and a half developing a product that went nowhere. Basically, an online project management software, which was a big failure for many different reasons. So I was broke. And, I'm like, if I'm going to do another company, I want to make damn sure that there is a chance for it to succeed. So before I spend a lot of time on resources doing videos for companies, I want to know if there's actually a possibility or a market for me to make a living doing this. So the second video that I did, and this is a long way to go to Ashton Kutcher, but you'll find out why, how it all ties together. The second video, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a free video for a company that has a lot of exposure and that I'm passionate about. Why? Because if it happens that these guys really like my video, well, they're very well connected, they may do some advertisement on my behalf. So I pick a company called Hipmunk.com, which is a fly search engine online, and it's really cool. And I really like the founders because the founders were the founders of Reddit.com. Anyways, send the video through their support after spending 2 weeks doing the video for free. And it turns out they really liked it. So that strategy worked really well. Suddenly, they introduced me to lots of Silicon Valley startups. I had more work than I could imagine. So that validated my idea. There was a market for my videos. People like my videos. Let's create a business. So then I create another video, which was for a company called AnyBots, and that did very well. And the third video was for a company called Batmapper.com, which is an apartment search listing website, and it just happened. And this is the luck that I'm talking about. The asking coacher was already very interested in this company and saw the video, and he thought, wow, what a cool video. And he tweeted it to see six million plus followers.
Wow.
That time, because he genuinely thought that was a cool video. So that was very luck. But I said he would not have tweeted that video if it was a piece of shit, right?
Right.
He, exactly. You know, because why would he do that? So
exactly.
he the hard work and the fact that the video was good helped that Ashton Kutcher to make that decision, right? And that
paid off.
And that paid off. And then, well, the story goes that I got a lot of exposure, which really helped bring in more customers. And then I eventually met him in South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, because as soon as he tweeted it, I said, well, I got to get in touch with this guy to say thank you. And eventually
exactly.
through Alexis Ohanian, who was the co-founder of Hipmunk, he got me in touch with him. I sent him an email and I said, hey, Ashton, thanks so much. If you ever want a video for you or for whatever cause, let me know. And he replied 10 minutes later, the very Ashton Kutcher, said, you know what? Yes, I'm doing this campaign to stop child sex slavery. It's called the Real Men Campaign. And we would like to have an animation component to it, right? And that this, whoever is not familiar with this campaign, basically it's Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, they have a foundation. And they're working together to stop child sex slavery across the world. This is a big issue. And in the campaign, they had a lot of famous people like Justin Timberlake and Sean Penn and a bunch of other people. But then they want an animation component to explain how the campaign worked. And Ashton thought, you know what? It'd be a good idea if you help us do a video explaining this. And that's what I did. So I did a video for them, and they really liked it. And anyways, that's the whole process for me to getting from zero to, after the third video, getting to meet Ashton Kutcher. But obviously a combination of luck, combination of strategy, combination of hard work, and that's how things happen, right? But I don't have a magic formula. Like, some people are saying, can you tell me how can you do this? Like, there's no, I mean, really at the end of the day, well, it's nice that I've personality like Ashton Kutcher tweets about you, but first of all, you have to make sure that you're producing great content. And
right.
maybe if you're producing great content, people will notice. Maybe not Ashton Kutcher, but somebody else that has a lot of influence. So there
right.
you go.
Would you agree that, you know, like the most important thing, you know, for, you know, any product, you know, not only startups, you know, would be to engage with your audience, you know, via text, images, or video, you know, in order, you know, for the audience to feel like, you know, they identify with whatever product, you know, they're trying to sell. Would you say that that's, you know, that would be like the most important thing, you know, to
yeah,
you know,
well, there's now a trend of doing that, and the reason why is because we are drawn to anything that is an experience that. You know, we like stories, and there's this conception of corporations, and it's true, of being just boring entities, right? You look to that side, everything's like so proper and perfect. You're missing that emotional connection, and that turns off people, right? It make you look, your company look very big and important, but you're not connecting with the people. So what video allows you to do is it's a very direct way of being able to connect with people, but not every type of video, because there's been corporate videos forever, and the
right.
problem is that they still they're boring. After the fifth second, you're like, oh my god, this is horrible. I don't want to listen to this, because this is a boring person speaking about boring stuff, and it just defeats the whole purpose of that amazing tool, which is video. So if you leverage video in the right way, and this is what we try to do at Gumo Media, now you're gonna get, you have a chance to connect emotionally with people better than ever before, and that's gonna help you. It's gonna help your business. It's gonna make people love your product. So yeah, definitely video is the way to go, and you're gonna keep seeing that more and more. I always say every website needs a video, and it's true. It's just like, it's like a no-brainer. Like, are you gonna read stuff or are you gonna watch stuff, right?
Well, right.
So
I think you know, there's more people that watch than you know read. So
yeah, especially
you know,
today.
Definitely.
At the beginning of the internet, well, internet connections were very slow. There's no way you could watch video. But now the average internet connection is fast enough that you can stream video at high quality, even high definition, make it a full screen and be able to watch anything that you want, right? So there's not an excuse anymore not to do to use video.
Right. let me ask you this. Do you think that, you know, the education that you've invested, you know, has helped you in the road to success?
To a certain degree, yes. The best education I ever got is not in school, and you'll find out that with many people that the best education is when you go out in the real world and have real world experiences. In terms of education, my education is a little bit all over the place. I went to a technical school and I studied mechanical design, which has nothing to do with what I'm doing today.
Right.
But you'll find that a lot of people, you know, eventually, that's the thing. The process of finding what you like to do may take you through many interesting paths, and every path is an opportunity to have an experience and learn from it. But from that education, what I learned, mechanical design is a very square-headed type of, you know, career, and maybe the discipline that I learned from having to study very hard and you know, meeting deadlines and stuff like that, it's something that transferred to what I'm doing today, and it was useful.
Right.
But the actual theory is not very useful for what I'm doing today. So to answer that question, not really. My former education was not very useful for what I'm doing today. But the real education that I really helped me was outside, was trying to do different types of jobs. The main job that really helped me was when we came to Canada in 1996, because I'm originally from Spain, and we, you know, I came with my father and my family here and basically didn't have anything. So the first thing I did was a door-to-door salesman, and that's the most horrible job you can ever imagine, and I don't recommend it to anybody if you want to say, because I mean, it's just a job where you get rejection, right? Basically, you walk a lot to get rejected, and why would you do that? Why would you go every day spend 9 hours getting 90% rejection? Well, because for a salesman that is learn how to do this, they don't think about 90% rejection. They think about 10% success. Now, when you think that way, then the lessons that I learned from that of being to cope with failure and rejection are probably the most important lessons that I could ever learn and anybody can learn in order to have a successful business, because creating a company is just a lot of failure before you can actually see a dollar in the bank account. So it's a hard road of rejection, of failures, but you know, if you're passionate, you know that statistically it's almost the same with everything in life, the same from door to door, like online dating, like everything. Because I've applied this rule to everything. I call it the 1 in 10 rule. For every 10 tries, I can guarantee you one time you'll succeed. And if you don't, then move on. But it's almost impossible to fail 10 times in a row. I mean, you have to be really bad, which means you're doing the wrong thing, right?
Right. You gotta try, you know, and see, you know, if it works, if it doesn't work, you know, move on to the next thing.
Exactly. Learn to love rejection.
Right. it seems like, you know, that's a pattern, you know, in every entrepreneur that we interviewed, you know, like they failed, you know, but you know they don't give up, you know, they failed, and they learn from their, you know, failure, and you know they move on to the next thing, but you know they capitalize on the previous failure, you know. So
exactly.
I think, you know, it's important, you know, to fail, you know, and learn at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and don't give up.
It's just the way that you look at it. And that way of looking at it is what makes the biggest difference. If you look at rejections as something personal, as like, oh, it's horrible, I lost, nobody wants to lose, right? Then you're gonna accumulate that negative energy, and it's not gonna allow you to move forward, because it's just reinforcing. You know, nobody, obviously I'm a piece of crap, nobody likes what I'm doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's not going to go anywhere. That type of thought process doesn't help. As opposed to thinking, great, I failed. What did I learn? I'm a step closer to succeeding. Because that is 100% true as well. It's like the
Right.
half glass empty, half glass full theory, right? It's the same thing, right? So once you learn to trick your brain, because by nature, we tend to be quite negative individuals, right? So you have to learn the mental tricks to look at things on the positive side. Okay,
Like
I
every
failed. I learned something. Great. I'm a step closer to succeeding.
right.
Guaranteed. Boom. Eventually, it's going to work.
Right. It should become an everyday practice, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stay positive.
Oh, yeah, it is. And sometimes a lot of these things sound very cheesy and self-help. But it's true. You know, think about how you're thinking right now. Are you thinking positively or are you thinking negative? Negatively. Okay. Well, you caught yourself doing something that's not going to take you anywhere. Therefore, you have the option to choose to not think that way. And that happens
Exactly.
every second. If you look at anybody's mind, I say 80 to 90% of the time, they're not thinking something positive. But they have the opportunity to realize that and change it. Okay, well, forget that. This thought process is not taking me anywhere. I have the option to concentrate on something positive because there's always something positive around you. You're alive, number one. You're very lucky to be alive. You have a family. You have to eat. Concentrate on the basic things. And just that thinking process is a positive one. It's going to give you energy to start trying to do whatever you're trying to do, right? So there you go.
Exactly.
I'm feeling like Tony Robbins here. You know Tony Robbins, right?
Yeah.
I was like, man, this guy, tell you, it's like the ultimate car salesman. I watch my videos. They're gonna be amazing in 2 days. I'm gonna solve all your problems. But I mean, he's obviously over the top and he knows it. But at the end of the day, yeah, it kind of helps to be able to realize that you're really in control of how you think. So,
Right.
anyways.
You know what? There's one thing I realized, besides, staying positive, being positive every day, there's another key element, and I think, you need to surround yourself with positive people too. You know, because if you have friends that, all they do is, drag you down, and they're all negative, and I think that, also affects the way you see things,
Yeah, I agree
and
100%.
I have personal experience that, and I think, staying positive and also looking for, like-minded people, that's, that's key.
Yeah, no, that's I've heard that many, many times, and it's true. The way I feel with it is if you think in terms of energy, negative people draw energy from you, and that energy you need to be able to do whatever you want to succeed, right? So obviously,
Right.
it's not helping you. Whereas people that think alike or have even more positive outlook at things, they give you energy. And that's the energy you're
Exactly.
looking for.
Exactly.
So when you're surrounded by people that have low energy or they're negative energy, it's like dragging a weight. And I felt that. I had relationships before where I used to have an ex-girlfriend. She was very, very depressive. And I felt, you know what? I'm every day trying to bring you up and make you happy. And you just go back to the routine, you know, of being unhappy. And there's no way I can move forward with a partner
Exactly.
that is drawing so much energy from me, right? So it's not that I don't like you, it's that you're stealing the energy that I need to do the stuff that I want to. So it's so
Exactly.
important to surround with people that can are at the same level or obviously even higher level because that energy is like, wow, yeah, that's what I need. So makes a lot of sense.
Right. No, that let me ask you this. What was like the break point or aha moment that you had, like aha, a moment in your career that, made you decide, to start, Grupo Media, I mean, was there like an aha
No,
moment
there's
that
no
where you
aha
felt like
moment. I know you asked me this on the written interview. Yes, there was no aha moment. There is, I don't want to like just define people in two categories, but some people, like for example, my father, he was born, and next day after he was born, he knew he wanted to be an electrical engineer.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like he,
He's
that's
a
what,
lucky one.
yeah. That is 1% of the population.
Right.
or people that they do actually have aha moments, like maybe they're 15 or I don't know, any time in their life, and they're like, wow, this is what I want to do. So and a lot of people are waiting for that aha moment. And most of the time, they die without that aha moment, because in reality, most of the time, you don't get aha moments. And maybe you get an aha moment, but it only lasts 2 days. You're like, oh, that's not really what I want to do, right? I think the real aha moment, it is a process, and it takes many years of trial and error. And eventually, you'll realize that, you know what? I think I like this more. Some people don't like anything, but I think everybody likes something. In my case, I like too many things. So my problem is deciding which one to follow. So I got to try many things before I find something that I like and that can make me a living, because those are two different things, right? So
right. Exactly.
You can like something, but you're really bad at it and never make a living out of it. Or you can make a living at something that you hate, and what you like, you never make a living on. So it's tricky. In my case, well, the aha moment was trying many different things. I knew I liked, mechanical things, and I knew I liked filmmaking. And eventually, after, and I kind of buzzed me, I didn't find about this. I never thought about starting a company. I thought that was for big people with lots of money, and it never entered my thought process that you, as an individual, could start a company. And I'm like, why would you do that? And then this is when, luckily, I start reading about people my age, even younger, starting companies, selling them for millions, or just making a decent living with it. And I started reading a lot about that, and then I'm like, man, this is something I may want to do, because I don't like to work for people. I don't like to the 9-to-5 jobs. I don't like how corporate culture works. I'm a free spirit. I want to do my own stuff. And
right.
And then I was reading that this was possible. So this opened like a whole new world to me. It's like, really, this is possible. Well, if these people have done it, and this is what, I guess that you could say that an aha moment. If these people that have done it, I don't think they're much smarter than me, then I can do it. So let's get to work. And
so that was the aha moment.
That was one of the aha moments. Like, okay, yeah, I can do it. I'm gonna read what it takes to do it. And obviously, I found a lot of these things. Like, it's very hard. You have to be passionate. You're gonna fail many times. Be ready for you gotta be a little bit insane to want to do it. And I'm like, I'm insane enough to do this. Except I don't care about security. I've lived for years, eating just cookies and bananas. I don't want to drive a big car. All I want to do is something that is meaningful for me and hopefully useful for other people. And with that mentality, mm-hmm. start to work every day. And bada bing, bam, boom, there you go.
There you go.
Grumo Media.
Grumo Media. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What was the biggest mistake that you've made, and what did you learn from it? Throughout your career.
All right. So biggest mistake, and I don't know if that's, I guess it's hard to say if that was my mistake or it's just the circumstances of how you are, was not believing in myself enough to take enough risks early enough. So what I mean by that is that in order to succeed at anything, you have to step out of your comfort zone. And that takes a lot of confidence, and that you need that risk-taking mentality. And because of my personality, I was always been very shy. I mean, I was being friendly and outgoing, but very afraid of trying things. But I was very aware of that. At least I was very aware that by not trying things, I was missing out. But I never did it. I never tried things enough. So when I really started trying things was maybe on my late 20s, whereas I could have started doing that when I was 16 or 14. And I'm like, well, it's like over 10 years that I could have really tried so many other things that I missed out. And then you realize life is too short. And I'm like, that is that's a big mistake. So to whoever listens to this, however old you are, you have to realize that, and it's hard for people to realize, but it's true, you're going to die.
No, it's true. I mean, that's where we're all going. We're going to die one day.
It is that's like the number one guarantee. They say is the number one guaranteed of dying is that you're alive. You know,
Right.
that's the worst disease that you can have is being alive, because that's the one that's gonna kill you for sure. So, and with that in mind, it's like, well, you know, my biggest mistake was not having the guts to do that, not having the confidence. So, and then missing out in a lot of opportunities. And then so that would be like a personal mistake. The as a career mistake, well, was the you can look at it as a mistake or as a learning opportunity, but I
Right.
now I can look at it more as a mistake. And both was before I started Groom Media, I spent a year and a half developing this application that went nowhere and made me broke. And if I knew what I know now, I would never done that. But I mostly probably would give up, but because this is the problem. At that time, my thought process was like, real entrepreneurs never give up. And I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna give up. This is not gonna go anywhere. I'm gonna spend 10 hours a day for as long as it takes to get this thing going. And that's a mistake. It's a big mistake that nobody should make. The important thing is not giving up, is knowing when you have to give up, right? Because
Right,
not
that's
giving up working on something that is not gonna go anywhere and you're not really passionate about is torture.
true, that's true.
So, and I was torturing myself because I was just thinking, you know, real entrepreneurs never give up. So I'm like, wow, I'm gonna be the toughest of all. I'm just gonna plow through this thing. Doesn't matter. I used to tell my girlfriend, I don't care if I'm on the street. I'm gonna be doing this with my laptop under a bridge. You know, I'm gonna succeed. And then
So
I ran out. Yeah, what?
you were not passionate about it,
Well, I was
right?
passionate about the concept of being a real entrepreneur, but not about the product. So this is
Not
another
about the
lesson.
product.
You have to be just not passionate about doing stuff. You have to be passionate about the actual thing. So who's passionate about project management? Well, not many people, including myself. I had a big idea and dreams, and this is another lesson. You can dream very big, but you have to understand what are your limitations as an individual. You cannot take on a huge market individually unless you have a lot of resources and connections.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. Learn to pick a market where you can make a dent, make a difference, be competitive without having to spend resources that you don't have. So in my case, going after a market that was saturated with just by myself, it was basically suicide. Right, and that's what they happen, you know. And now my lesson is before you, and this is why the second time around I said, you know what, there's no way I'm gonna spend a year and a half doing videos to figure out if this is what's is gonna work. So what I did is I did a spec video, which took me 2 weeks, which validated that there was an opportunity. I looked at the market, there was not a lot of competition. Well, let's give it a try. That is the right approach, not the
Yeah.
first thing. So first try was big mistake. There you go.
So, you would say that, the right approach to any idea would be, first, of course, having an idea,
Yeah.
and then second, making sure to validate the idea to make sure that there's a market.
Yeah, a market. Make sure you're passionate. Luckily, now there's very easy to figure out if there's a market. I'm not gonna go into the details, but there's lots of places. Basically, you can set up a landing page for whatever you want to sell. Drive some traffic, spend just $100 on AdWords, drive some traffic to it, see what the conversion rate is. You don't even have to have a product. All you need to do is having a landing page saying, I'm going to do X and Y, and have a place where you can collect email addresses from people that are interested in that. If you convert more than 1% of those people, there may be a business for it. Not only that, and this is the actually before you do all of this. With Google AdWords, you can figure out if there's enough traffic of people looking for those keywords. So if you're selling stuff for, like, I don't know, soccer balls, I don't know. You can go to Google right now, use their keyword tool, type soccer balls, and Google will tell you how many people in the world every month are looking for that. So if there's millions of people looking for soccer balls right now, you know the market is big. Now, the next step, how can you get a chunk of those searches sent to your landing page and convert them? So if there's enough traffic, if you can validate that the market is big enough, and then you can convert enough people giving your email without having done anything, building any soccer balls or whatever, and you can see that there's at least more than 1%, you know there is a scalable business, you know there's an opportunity there, and you only spend $100. There you go.
Exactly. And you know, I think, you know, I don't want to do marketing here, but you know, I just have to say this. You know, in your WordPress course, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you mentioned that the strategy, you know, how to get traffic, you know, to the blog or to a website, you know, and I, you know, highly recommend, you know, the WordPress course to anybody that, you know, doesn't have an idea, you know, how to use WordPress, you know, doesn't have an idea how to, you know, create a website, because nowadays, you know, creating a website is not, you know, it's not rocket science, you know, I mean, anybody can create a website. I think that the true science behind it is, you know, how to, you know, create great content that people feel engaged and how to drive traffic to it.
Yeah, so, yeah, and it's to me, it's what you said, a lot of people don't take that step. They have a lot of great content in their mind, in their experiences to share with people, but they don't share it because they're afraid of the technical barriers. And the reality is that those technical barriers, if you have a laptop and you know how to type, you can have a website in less than 1 hour, really. Right. So it's sad that people are like, oh, this is not for me. It's not hard. It was hard when the internet started. You needed to know how to code and program. Today, you can have a blog. I mean, you don't even need to use WordPress. You could use any other platform. But if you want to actually have a business website, yeah, you learning a little bit of how to install your own WordPress installation is helpful. But I mean, if you don't even have the time for that, you can go and make it even simpler for you. Just use Blogger or Tumblr, and you have a blog in 2 seconds. So, and then you start posting content. If you see there's traffic coming in, or maybe there's a business opportunity, then you can also go and create your own site, and it's so easy. So there you go.
All right. It's definitely something to, you know, look into. Mm-hmm. Miguel, what do you do for fun? You know, and where do you get your inspiration from? You know.
Well, I read a lot. That's one of the things I'm plugged into many different feeds from blogs. So I use Google Reader. I'll have probably over 100 feeds. There are too many, to be honest. there's no way I can read that. And luckily,
how do you keep up?
There's no way you can. If you look at realistically, there's only so many hours during the day.
Right.
But you know, I use a combination of just skim through the headlines that I think are interesting, and the other one I use a tool called Sumify, which is the guys that I did a video for. It's so funny that the guys that I did a video for is the tool that I use now to be able to make what basically it skims through all my feeds, all my information sources, and it just sends me an email every day with the 10 top news, so I don't have to do that work myself. Now, how does it sum if I know that those are the 10 top news I'm gonna know? Well, the guys that did it, they're two Romanian geniuses that I met, and they've won like worldwide math contests. They created this algorithm that analyzes your likes, your behavior. Is scary what they do, but basically with that they can guarantee that those 10 headlines they send you by email, most likely 80% of them are going to be very interesting, and they are now. They're getting really good at it, so that's a way of for me to get a relevant news and also finding inspiration, because the people that I'm usually connected with or subscribed to are people that are in the either animation world or video marketing world or startup world, and that's where I get a lot of ideas, right? So that's one of my main sources of inspiration.
Okay, so you like to read, and you know, pretty much, you know, always, you know, reading blogs, you know, and talking to friends, you know, thinking, you know,
yeah,
a lot of thinking.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's another thing of. The people that have an invention or entrepreneurial bug on their brain, they cannot stop thinking about new ideas. So,
right.
So that's what I do a lot. I think sometimes I think too much, and that gets me. It can get you in trouble because you're talking to somebody, and next thing you know, they are talking to not you, the shell of you, because you are thinking of something.
Your eyes are, you know, like gone. You have this, like, you know.
Yeah, you got a weird, yeah, you, what they call what's that, the 100 mile look or something. So yeah, and I love thinking, you know. This must sound weird, but that's where you can go and just, there's no limits of what you can imagine, right? Maybe you cannot execute on 90% of the stuff that you wish or you come up with, but it's a great place in your mind where you can experiment with ideas, right? And I love to do that. And what I do is I keep an Excel sheet with any idea that I come up with. I write it down. Then I look at what name would I give it. I love to pick names. Picking names is hard, but it's also kind of like a beautiful art, because it's so hard to find the right name for your product. And then I give it a description. I think of a tagline. I basically think of what kind of Grumo video I would do for this type of company. And I just keep a log of these ideas, and I keep coming back and adding or seeing which one I could execute. Most of them are too big of an idea for me and my resources to implement, so I probably would have to raise money to implement them. But the whole thinking process and keeping your brain is a muscle, right? So you gotta keep it active, thinking of things all the time. But again, you have to find a balance, right? It's, for me, sometimes I just spend too much time thinking, not listening to what people are telling me, specifically my wife. She can tell.
I'm sure she gets mad.
Oh yeah, but it's uncanny. I'd say that 50% of the time she talks to me, and it's not because I don't care. She's telling me about her day. Oh, I had a horrible day. This co-work is bothering me a lot. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. And then after that, I just hear, and it's like, Miguel, what are you? Oh, sorry. Can you repeat? I told you, something about you're wrong. You're never listening to me.
That's awesome. I have one final question, you know, so we can wrap things up. What's the most important advice that you can give to our audience? Our readers,
you gotta take risks in life. So if you think of yourself and your comfort zone, a circle around you, like a circle, let's say 3 feet around you, that's where you're very happy with, right? Because you know it. It's your 9-to-5 job, it's your friends, it's your whatever. All the opportunity that's gonna allow you to succeed or be happy most of the time is outside that circle. Which means you're going to have to step out of that comfort zone, which means you're going to have to take a risk. So the moment that you see yourself not taking enough risks, you know you're not moving forward, right? So learn to take and embrace that feeling. You'll get an adrenaline rush when you know you're taking a risk, because there's a possibility of failure. And the number one thing that's going to stop you from taking risk is that fear, any kind of fear, but the fear of failure. So take risks. Most of the time, you're not going to die by taking the risk. We're not like back in when we were animals. And if you take a risk, you get eaten by a dinosaur. Most of the time, if you take a risk, it's going to be a great learning experience. And it could be possibly the only way that you can step out of that comfort zone and actually end up doing what you really want to do. And remember, life is too short, so you better start taking risk yesterday.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, for your advice. And I think that, that's true. You have to take risk, not being afraid, of trying things, and because that's how you will find out, who you truly are and what your passion is about.
So, well, I just want to make sure that when I say take risk, you also have to be smart, after 50 miles an hour, Mario Andretti, maybe this is Formula One is what's for me. Boom, and then you die. That's not a smart risk. So take risk, but in little steps, not huge risks,
Right.
Don't try to fly from a you're not gonna fly if you jump from a building, right? That's a big risk. But you can do something very small as, quitting your job is a big risk, right? So before you quit your job, make sure you do what we've spoken about. Make sure that don't spend a lot of money trying to figure out if there's an opportunity out there that you can follow, and then make sure that you're making some income on the side. And then if you're making enough income, well, you maybe you can start thinking about quitting your job. But don't take just drastic, crazy decisions. Just do it step by step, and then that will allow you to increase that, you know, step out of that comfort zone circle. There you go.
That's awesome. You know, thank you, you know, very much for, you know, this interview. And Miguel Hernandez, you know, from Grumo Media, you know, people can get in contact with you through grumomedia.com.
Yes.
Or via email, you know, miguel@grumomedia.com.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully people find this interview awesome and they feel inspired to do cool stuff.
They will.